I hope I don't drive Ned crazy. In my young, foolish days, as a young man, I at one time thought I could preach the gospel. When I was young and foolish, there was actually a time in my life I thought I could preach the gospel. But the more I understood about the gospel, the less I felt capable of preaching. And I realized something very serious. I am a dying man. And you are a dying people. Now don't focus on that 24/7. It might not be good for your psyche, but you are dying. And every time the gospel is shared, it's a sacred time. We never know if we'll meet just like this again. We never know between now and the next Lord's Day whether Jesus could come back. So you can see I don't feel very capable at all. And I've thrown myself before the Lord and the Holy Spirit, telling Him I'm helpless. If I mess up and lean a little bit to the right, or a little bit to the left, I can do unspeakable damage to your soul. And I'll give an answer someday for that. Anybody who thinks they're capable of getting behind this pulpit, don't ever let them get behind this pulpit. I don't know why I'm feeling this way this afternoon, but it's just heavy on my heart. I don't know how to preach. I need God. I need Him this afternoon. Let me just share three things before we go into this message. This book was not written for theologians. It's written for common people. This is written for children to understand. I don't mean that I'm not for study and looking in and digging, but sometimes theologians could take this book and make it farther away from you than closer. The worst impression that could be left on you is to think you've got to be a preacher to understand the Bible, and you might as well not even try. This needs to be your book. From the youngest to the oldest, this needs to be your book. God wants to speak to you through this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, interpreted by the Holy Spirit. You just need to be humble enough to receive it. The second thing is, my job is not to make the gospel more complicated than it should be. A preacher's calling is to make it simple. And thirdly, as I think of the Lord's Supper today, I realize that Jesus, in his wisdom, knew we need to be reminded. I'm not a Christian this afternoon because I was strong and superhuman determined. You know what the Apostle Paul's testimony was? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So you see, it's a very humbling thing to handle God's word. So, I would like to talk to you about the new birth. Some of you might think that I'm presenting something that is a wall between you and God. The new birth is not a wall or a barrier. It's the door. But I just need to be clear, it's the only door. You saw what Jesus said, not what I said. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the new birth is critical. It's critical that you understand what it is and what it isn't. And it's critical that you know you've been born again. Now those who are in my class downstairs will see some repetition here, because some of this I say over and over again. Jesus did not come to give the world a new religion. He came to give the world new life. Christianity is not just a good religion among other religions. Religion typically is man's effort to reach and find God. Think of any religion in the world, and that's what it's about. Somehow I pray enough, I meditate, or I do good things to somehow get up to God. And believe it or not, there are some people claiming to be Christians that practice that same religion. I'm going to pray enough, I'm going to fast enough, I'm going to call myself enough names until suddenly I can become close to God. Before the ever first word of any prayer you ever prayed left your mouth, God came down He came down to man. He came down to you to provide and give his life for us. That was not because I was lovable. That was not because I was spiritual enough. Dear friends, I was a wretched sinner, hopelessly lost. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what it's all about. God comes to you to offer you new life. Now, the story of the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus has fascinated me for a long time. You say, what's a long time? Well, I first read it in 1973, so you do the math. But amazingly, it's just as fresh and as new to me today as it was then. This third chapter of John, especially verses 1 through 17, have been life-changing for me personally. Now this man, Nicodemus, is a fascinating character. He was a Pharisee. I know sometimes we only associate the term Pharisee with hypocrite, but that's not accurate. Hypocrite. Now a Pharisee might be a hypocrite. Hypocrite might be a Pharisee. Maybe you profess to be a Christian, but you might be a hypocrite. But one doesn't require the other. A Pharisee was an expert in the Word of God. He was an intellectual. He could read the Old Testament fluently in Hebrew. I wouldn't mind having that capability. I mean, I've taken Hebrew and I know enough to get me in trouble, but what would it be like just to be able to read it fluently? The next thing is, he was a ruler of the Jews, a man of authority. Jesus called him a teacher. That term was very high in the Jewish way of thinking. So Nicodemus was a religious man seeking after truth. So he did a very intellectual, honest thing. He came to Jesus alone. Something significant for him to come to Jesus alone. Away from the noise of the crowd. Away from the bias and confusion of divided opinions.
见所带来的偏见和这个混乱。
Not wanting second-hand knowledge.
他不想得到这个，不想只是得到二手的这个知识。
He came to Jesus.
他来到耶稣的面前。
Now I know what you're thinking.
我想你在想什么。
Not because I could read minds, but I can guess pretty close. You're thinking.
因为虽然我不能读你的大脑，但我能猜想你在想什么。
But why do we have this church here?
这是为什么我们要教会？
Why are you speaking to us?
你为什么对我们在讲话？
I don't need you.
我不需要你。
I just come directly to God. That's all I need, right?
我们只要去这个直接到神面前就可以了。
I have the Bible you talked about, Terry, and I'm going home.Because I don't need anything else. Well, there's one thing you're going to learn about life. There's always a balance. You can overemphasize an aspect of truth in a way to destroy it. And there's a lot of people out there that have an aspect of truth they overemphasize. If you and I could look spiritually into the Christian world, you know what we'd see? We'd see people like this.
我们从另外从某个角度去看别人。
We'd see other people like this.
我们有时从另外角度去看别人。
Everybody's leaning all over the place.
每个人都是偏向这一方那一方去看人。
Because they haven't learned that the Bible is the most balanced book you've ever read.
其实圣经是一个非常一个最平衡的一本书。
Precept upon precept, line upon line.
神的教训一个教训。
And so none of us are an island that we need nothing. We need each other. That's the very purpose of the Lord's table. And the Bible says God has given some to be pastors and teachers and to encourage each other and to help each other.
牧师成为传道的，目的就是让我们彼此鼓励，能够跟随学习神，跟随神的话。
So true it is, you don't need anybody to get to heaven except Jesus.
其实这个确实是对的，你不需要别人，你只需要耶稣能去到天堂。
But don't throw away the help God puts in your way.
但是不要拒绝神在你面前摆上的给你的提供的帮助。
The Jews were so divided about Jesus, Nicodemus needed to get away from it all and come and face Jesus and talk with him. Forty-four years ago, I made a similar decision to get alone with Jesus.I was religious in a sort of Christian sort of religious way. Went to church, became very, very sanctimonious at Easter and Christmas. But religion was my greatest challenge.And I struggled which one is correct. And to narrow it down, what Christianity is correct. America is a wonderful country with freedom. But with that freedom, dear friends, you've got every opinion under the sun.So being frustrated in the tangle of the answer to that question, I made an important choice.
在这个一团乱麻的事的这个答案里面，我做了一个很重要的决定。
I set aside the question.
我把这个问题放在一边。
Temporarily.
暂时的。
Well, that's an engineering technique, by the way.
这是一个那个工程师的一个技巧。
Engineers use a technique often to work out a problem.
这个工程师总是用这个技巧来解决一些问题。
One day, I have a little more time, I'll tell you, that's how I passed my professional engineer exam.
这是我告诉你，这是我那个当时为了有一些闲余的时间来这个通过我
That's another day, but just understand there's some things you won't be able to answer the question. And you're going to have to put it aside for a while. Don't just keep banging your head against the wall. Don't argue about theological questions that hasn't been answered in the last 2,000 years. Get the problem simple. Simplify the problem. I work with a lot of young engineers, and this is my greatest criticism of them. They always want to start with a complex. And I try to tell them, get it simple, start where it's simple. Two people are involved here. Really, in the final analysis. It's not your mother and father. It's not your brother or sister. Not your wife and your husband. It's not your children. Your employer. Your neighbors. It's just Jesus and you. You've got to get it that simple. You can look around, oh, what is this Christian group doing? What is this Christian doing? Why do they talk? Doesn't matter. There's only one critical question. How can I know Jesus? I don't mean to know about him. I mean to know him in relationship. By the way, that is a question you need to come back to time and time again in your Christian life. Even after you've become a Christian for a number of years. You'll go through a low time. A time you're not sure you're making progress. It seems like you're in a fog. You read the Bible and it doesn't seem to pop out at you as far as the answers are concerned. That's when it needs to come back to simplicity. It's me and Jesus. I don't have to answer for anybody else but me and Jesus. And I've lost track of how many times that simplicity has got me out of the fog. But back to 44 years ago, after reading the Bible for a period of 13 months, I came to the conclusion that Jesus was knowable and that he wanted to be known and even be my friend. You might say, boy, you slow. Took you 13 months to figure that out. Didn't you ever sing the song, I Know Jesus Loves Me, the Bible Tells Me So? Well, something brought me to John 3 and the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, I am what I am, and you are what you are. So if I say something you can't relate to, don't panic. Just say, hey, he's a little different. Now, engineers analyze data and reports, and they look for certain things. I can give you the thermodynamic equation, but it's basically just cause and effect. We also look for some key words like shall, should, and must. I'm serious about that. There have been projects I've worked on that it was a matter of tens of millions of dollars whether the code said shall or should. So in John 3:3, I heard the word must, and my ear perked up, my eyes opened, and I heard it come from the lips of Jesus. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now this is not like your mother telling you must. It's not like a teacher in school saying you must do this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Sabbath, saying, you must be born again. Now, there's two ways to look at that. Nicodemus looked at it, at the word must, coming from the lips of Jesus. Excuse me. Oh, wait a minute. Where am I at? Ooh, I missed something. Ooh. There was a... Okay. Oh, that was a good point, too. Rats. Nicodemus and I both looked at the word must. But Nicodemus looked at the word must, and he said, how? Both of us had no arguments with why. To have a new beginning, dear friends, there's no arguments. It's a slam dunk. Everyone wants a new beginning. Everything in the past wiped clean. A new start, a new life, a new birth. Too good to be true, almost. yet intriguing that Jesus said it must happen in your life and mine. Now I realize this is the slide I thought it was at before. Nicodemus looked at "you must be born again" and saw a question, how? I looked at "you must be born again" and saw an answer. A promise. My old spiritual life had been a struggle of ups and downs, starts and stops. New efforts to be better and please God only resulted in failure. Now I saw the answer. I needed a spiritual birth. That's the answer of everything I was questioning. So why is that a promise? The new birth, I'm going to go a little bit quicker here. The new birth was indeed radical, amazing, totally outside the parameters of religion. It's nothing less than a miracle. A miracle that religion cannot produce. And after 13 months of reading God's word, I came to the conclusion Jesus never lied. Some people struggle with that. Some people still are questioning, did Jesus not tell us the truth? So if Jesus said, I must be born again, it must be possible because he never lies. Then it hit me. He must be promising to do this miracle in my life. And that's exactly right. According to John 3:6, this has nothing to do with physical dynamics. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. A spiritual birth. What had I done to experience a physical birth? What did you do to experience your physical birth? Nothing. In a sense, our parents gave us the gift of physical life. It's God's gift through our parents. The concept of God giving me a gift was something new to me. Excuse me. So logical, someone else must give us the gift of spiritual life. And so, friend, I want to drill it into your mind. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. And everything clicked for me. Everything now made sense. This was a promise of something God and only God could do in me. My defeated, frustrated life was because I was trying to produce something in the physical, but God wanted to give me a gift in the spiritual. This was not my work. This is what God was promising to work inside of me. Now, I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but this concept of God giving gifts are all in the Bible. John 4:10, Romans 6:23, Ephesians 2:8, read it there. Why is it so hard to receive a gift? Too easy? We're too proud? We do not trust the giver. We have our hands full of other things. Or we simply won't ask. We refuse to come like a child and ask. James told us, you have not because you ask not. Forty-four years ago, I came to Jesus and I asked. And I apologize. I don't want you focusing on me. This is not a good thing that you're thinking, okay, this is Terry's experience. Because that's not what this is about. I want you to see that Jesus is the one who invites you to receive His free gift. And He cannot lie. If you must be born again, then He is promising to give you this new birth. I only want to encourage you. I came as a weak, sinful human being to Jesus, and I asked and I received. There's many people sitting in pews all over our country today that have never truly received something from God. But dear friends, you need to open your heart. Faith comes when we read, study, open our heart to His written word. Second, I got alone with Jesus and prayed. And again, I want to keep this balance because sometimes people find it easier to pray right here in church. That's why don't look, use me as a template. Christian friends are good. But there must come a point, whether you're at home, whether you're right here in the front, whether you're counseling with someone, where you and Jesus have a conversation. Will you really talk to Jesus? He will never disappoint you. Friend, I had not a clue what I would feel like. But I knew Jesus wanted to give me something. I didn't even know all the details of it. But I knew I needed it. And when I received it, the evidence was surprising. There was a peace, an assurance, and a rest. Not strong emotions, though some people would be emotional about it. For me, it was a quiet in my soul. I knew this was a new beginning, a new birth. Just me and Jesus. You see, I asked him, and I believed him, and he didn't disappoint me. And if you're scratching your head and saying, Terry, I never experienced a new birth. I don't know what that is. I was baptized, maybe I believe, I studied, but I've never actually received this new birth. But you can come to him and ask him. Some of you might know this song. We're going to sing it a cappella. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Look at those words again. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have built my eternal destiny on the truthfulness of this word. And there's a peace in my heart. And assurance. You can have it if you want it.
So, 我们今天在圣餐领圣餐之前，我们来同唱一首诗歌。Let us break bread together. 我们唱第一跟第二节。
餐的喜好表达。我当日传给你原是从主领受的，就是主耶稣被卖的那一夜，拿起饼来祝谢，就拨开说：“这是我的身体，为你们舍的，你们应当如此行，或者是纪念。”饭后也照样拿起杯来说：“这杯是用我的血所立的新约，你们每逢喝的时候要如此行，或者是纪念。你们每逢吃的饼、喝的杯，就是表明主的死，直到他来。所以无论何人。”不按理吃主的饼，喝主的杯，就是干犯主的身、主的血。人应当醒茶，然后吃的饼、喝着杯，因为人吃喝若不分辨是主的身体，就是吃喝自己的罪。就这个，你进圣餐的，只是为这个重新受洗的基督徒准备的。还如果你还没有受洗，就暂时不要领受。谢谢。接着这个。现在的基督徒也到前面来。
Heavenly Father, we do humbly thank you for your wonderful, unspeakable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to realize not any of us are going to heaven because of our own goodness. It's because Jesus paid a price. I owe a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Thank you, Lord. And may every time we celebrate this make us feel more grateful, walk more humbly, more carefully before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
好，我们大家一起起立，我们唱三一颂。
Lord, you are worthy of all praise and all honor. Lord, we're homesick. We're not home yet. We really don't belong in this world. But Lord, we're hungry to see you face to face. Help this precious people. Help this precious young people, Lord. Our hearts are so encouraged just to see those who are serving today and realize you're helping the young people. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your hand on each one of us till we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
说的经节是从罗马书第十章第九节。 And for those that cannot read Chinese, you just have to try to understand what I'm talking about. Romans 10:9, 罗马书第十章第九节，这是我们上周所背诵的经节。You can look through your Bible and then try to see what that is. 好，我们来念两遍罗马书十章九节。来，你若口里承认耶稣是主，心里相信神使他从死里复活，就必得救。罗马书十章九节，来，你若口里承认耶稣是主，心里相信神使他从死里复活，就必得救。好，我们这个礼拜的背诵的经节是希伯来书第十二章第二节， Hebrews 12:2。 OK， 我们大家来一起来念三遍。来，仰望为我们信心创始成终的耶稣，他因那摆在前面的喜乐，就轻看羞辱，忍受了十字架的苦难，便坐在神宝座的右边。仰望为我们信心创始成终的耶稣，他因那摆在前面的喜乐，就轻看羞辱，忍受了十字架的苦难，便坐在神宝座的右边。希伯来书十二章第二节，最后一次，来，仰望为我们信心创始成终的耶稣，他因那摆在前面的喜乐，就轻看羞辱，忍受了十字架的苦难，便坐在神宝座的右边。希望我们能够在这一周把这个经节背诵起来，帮助我们，提醒我们学习耶稣的榜样。把以下时间交给贾牧师。